All right, so we're continuing in the Nat Bar Nat in Chulin, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. All right, let's do the mice over here with Rav. So what was the story? So he ate food from a plate that was used for samamanim. Is that what it was? That was used with samamanim and oil. Right, and he commented that he could taste it. What did he say exactly? He said, "Yoiv taima kuli hai." It gives this much time. It gives this much time. Right. So the Gemara says, "Velohi shadi hasam de nofish marora tfe." So apparently that's the machlokas over here. No? Now, as he was saying, Yohiv Taimo Bikara. Interesting, Rashi. Yohiv Taimo Bikara Kuli Hai Shechozer Venosein Tam Bibishal. Right? That. What's Yoiv Taimo Kuli Hai? That the food that was cooked, that was prepared in the kara, gave so much time to the kara that the kara can now give time to the bishul that was put in it. Uman deshoma sover disle l'rav nesinas tam bar nesinas tam nami ba'almo. But the one who heard him thought he meant that in general this is nesinas tam bar nesinas tam. Velohi, the Gavi Samamonim, Nofish Marayu, Morim Him Od. They're very spicy. The taste is very powerful. Alright, the Pshat is a little difficult according to Rashi. He sounds like he's learning the Velohi to say that he never meant it. Sounds like Rashi saying Velohi, that they thought he meant this, but this is not really what he meant. But it is definitely true that Rav does hold that Nisina's Tam by Nisina's Tam. And then you have the funny Maisa with Rabbi Elazar and Abaye. So you see for sure Rav definitely maintained that Nosin Tam by Nosin Tam is also. And it does seem that his remark by the Samamonim has something to do with his Shita. It's just the Gemara saying it's not. That's why he's saying it's mechlala, because you can't say definitively that statement meant nosin tam bar nosin tam in general, but that was the shita. Okay, so what do you say over here? Can we define this machlokas? So what would it mean according to Rav then that the fish could not be eaten with the kutach, because the fish has a regular tam. No, she doesn't differentiate between tam, right? She doesn't differentiate between tam. Okay, so what do you say? I mean, with the fact that he says nosan bok, the fact that he says what? Yoiv taima kuli hai, and the Gemara says lohi shani hosam denofish maror tfei. That's an interesting exchange, right? The fact that he says kuli hai, and you have time a kuli hai, and the Gemara says that case is special, is something interesting, right? But what, can we pull something out of there? Apparently kuli hai is a key factor here. The Gemara is not saying we don't care about the fact that it's Yoav Taim Akuli Hai. It's a Nosin Tam by Nosin Tam. The Gemara is saying, yeah, that's true. Yoav bought Taim Akuli Hai is a good reason to not say not by not. But from his case, you can't really derive it in general. At least that's the way Rashi seems to learn it. I mean, the Sprung is right. The Ramban lays out the Svara of Shmuel, the Svar of Shmuel is like we were working on, like we were starting to explain yesterday, that there's two things. There's the Basar Atzmo, and then there's the Tam Ke'ikar of the Basar, which is the Tam Rishon. And the Tam Rishon will also Asa through its Nesinas Tam. That's the Tam Sheni. So if I have a pot of if I have a pot with Tam Rishon and I cook something in it, so whatever I cook in it will be usher through the tarovus of the sheni. So if I had meat and milk, the milk will be usher from the nesinas tam from the Rishon into the sheni, into the milk. But the fish only has a tam sheni, so tam sheni won't make a shlishi. The Ramban is very, very clear. He's explicit. That he's only worried about the fish giving tam to the kutach. He's not worried that the milk is going to come into the and mix with the fish, mix with the tam sheni and the fish, right? He's only worried about the tam shlishi. So we have to think of it. We have to understand why that is. But therefore, the tam shlishi, the sheni can't make a shlishi. That's a shita. So that's a nice idea. That's a nice idea. But still needs to, we still need to understand where that idea is coming from. It's a nice idea. Where is it coming from, though? And what is the statement of Rava of Rav that it's Nosan Bo Time Yov Bo Time Akuliyai? Is that really what it's contingent upon? I mean, is it just a factual question? How much time does the Sheni have? Kuliyai. In other words, my question is like this: well, the way the Ramban is explaining the Heter of Not Bar Not, it's a conceptual thing. It's a halachic concept that there's the basar, there's a gzeiras hakosuv of tam ki'ikar, and there's no gzeiras hakosuv beyond the tam ki'ikar of the thing, right? Okay, is that dependent on how much you taste, or that's a halachic phenomenon? So if it's a halachic phenomenon, just because Rav said I really taste it strong, who cares? That's still a halachic phenomenon. It still is a tam sheni. Is the Ramban saying, physically speaking, it peters out? I mean, it doesn't sound like the Ramban is saying that it just physically peters out when you get to shlishi. Sounds like he's learning it's a din of tam ki ikar, osu taru vaso, and it doesn't really matter how much tam it has. It's a question of halachic question. So Rav saying that I tasted a lot, and the Gemara saying that's a special case, sounds like the whole focus of the question is on the physical intensity of the taste. Out there first, okay? Okay, so we looked at the Ramban, right? And we see the direction the Ramban is taking and the conceptual framework that he's setting up. And basically, how does it go again? That you have two things. Right, you have the basar and the tam rishon. By the way, this fits in with this is like we were doing in the sugya with the nosa, that only on the basar and the tam rishon itself is nosa going to be chal, right? But that was once you, any remnant of tam in the kli is not roi for nosa to be chal. So anyway, so you have the tam, you have the basar and the tam rishon. Those are the two primary entities that we have in the Torah from the mamish, which is the thing itself, and the tam ki'ikar of the thing. And then you have each one is a kamohu. I mean, tam ki'ikar really is a double duty, right? It's going to be at the same time it's going to answer the tarovus of the mamish, but it also could be its own entity that has its own tarovus, right? Right? Am I saying it right? Okay. But if I have the basar cooked in the pot, so the pot will have a tam rishon, right? And here's the critical point. But if I cook something in that pot, the fish, let's say, so the fish will now have a tam sheni. Right, that's his theory. And now the tam sheni won't make a tam shlishi. But what is that dependent on? What is that very concept dependent on?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like the tam of the bull. It's not like the meat.
Okay.
Each one is like the thing before it. So it's the meat. You're going to usher the tam from the meat. But you're not going to usher the tam of the tam of...
Okay, but what? Okay, I'm not totally sure. I think you're saying the right thing. Let me put it another way. In other words, why do I call the tam in the fish a tam sheni?
Because it's in a new container.
Because I'm looking at it as coming from what? From the pot, right? I'm looking at it as coming from the pot, so I'm sort of resetting my source. Saying, look, I have the tam rishon means the source is the meat. Tam sheni means the source is the pot, right? But what if I say, well, the tam is really coming from the meat, it's just stopping over in the pot for a rest, right? I mean, it's dependent on looking at it like it's a tam of a tam. It's a not bar not. It's the taste son of a taste, right? But that means to say you've got to look at the original tam rishon like spawning another entity. So you've got to really believe this idea that the tam is coming from the tam. You've got to sort of make it like the tam is not just sliding over, right, through the medium of the pot. But now it's like of the pot. It's like of the tam of the pot. Correct? So the svara is very nice, but it's dependent on viewing it in a very specific way. The svara of saying there's the meat, there's the tam rishon, there's the tam sheni. The svara, I think, is hard to argue with, because that's what you have. You have xeris akosav of tam kicker, tam rishon. But it's dependent on saying that when it goes to the pot and the pot to the food, we don't look at like the tam rishon is just moving along. We look at it like it's now become part of the pot, sort of, and now the next tam that comes out of it is literally coming from it, not it. It's of it, right? That's a way of looking at something. I could tell you that the svara of a tam should not be like a tam. I would buy that. But I have to also accept that when it goes to the pot and the pot to the food, that's called like a tam of a tam, not just a tam keep on moving, that keeps on moving. All right, one attempt over here, one try over here is it's a machlokas and tam kicker. Okay. In the meaning of tam kicker, does it mean that tam is kicker? So mamela, whenever I have the tam, I have to treat it like the substance. So tam sheni, yov tam kuli hai, means I can taste it. It's a tam. I have to treat it like basar. Or does tam kicker mean that there is a tam that's kicker? And which one? The one that actually behaves a certain way. Or I don't know. The one that is from the basar. All right, let me tell you, it's a good direction, but let me tell you what I'm thinking about here, okay? A little strange, but I'll tell you what I'm thinking.
Abstract,
that's just the cover for strange sometimes. But the idea is like this. I think that the svara is solid. The svara that... that they're not arguing about tam kicker. They agree that in the midoraisa there's the mamish and there's the tam kicker, and those two things behave the same way. The tam kicker is kibasar atzmo; it has its own tam too. It has its own tam too, and in theory, the tam of the tam kicker will not create a shlishi, right? That's the shlishi. But the question is an interesting question. The question is like this. By what right do we have to treat the pot as a second source? Okay. What right do we have to say that do we have a right to say halachically that the pot is considered the second source? Or do we have to say that the Tam Rishon is just going further and further, and little less of it is getting through. Obviously, I'm not going to say it's as strong, but less of it is getting through. So maybe that's what Rav was saying when he said Yoav Taima Kuli Hai, is he was saying that if in the Metzius the taste that comes from the pot is so strong that from the way that we observe it, there's no difference, then we have no right to consider the pot a new source. In other words, he's making an argument. He's saying, I understand your svara, but your svara is totally on us considering the pot as another source of tam. The basar was a source of tam, and now the pot is a source of tam. But maybe when Rav tasted it, he said, Yoav Taima Kuli Hai, is he saying that since there is such a thing that can give a tam, there is a case where the tam can come through the pot almost as well as it was into the almost as well as it was from the source, then that fact, that metzius, disallows us to view the pot as a separate entity. And Shmuel says, and Shmuel's not bothered by that. Shmuel says, as long as it's one unusual case of an extremely sharp, of an extremely bitter tam, that doesn't change the way we view it in general. In other words, what I'm trying to say is like this. I'm trying to frame the question like this. That there is a svara to say that the meat is the source and then the pot is the source. But how long can we maintain that concept? In the face of a metzius where it doesn't exist? Rav says if there's one case, even though it's a very bitter case, but if there's one case that I can show you that the tam goes straight through, then that undermines the idea of treating the pot as a separate phenomenon and not just a pass-through of the original tam. As long as I can show you that there's a case, even though it's a spicy case, I can show you there's a case where the Tam Rishon comes through, then we don't say that there's a phenomenon of Kedera. There's no such thing as the phenomenon of Kedera if it doesn't have an effect, if it doesn't change any Metzius. And Rav held, as long as there's one case where it doesn't change the Metzius, that undermines the whole concept of treating the pot. How come every time I don't taste it as strong? It doesn't pass through as easily, but it doesn't mean that. But it undermines the concept of changing of viewing the pot as like another cheftza with its own tam, because there's no discernible difference between the tam rishon and the tam from the pot. It's true, it's that one case, but that he holds undermines the whole view of the mamish and the pot. Whereas the stam of the gemara, the Shmuel says, That's the concept. The concept, as long as the concept is good, one case will we can say that the one case, you don't determine it. You can't determine it by an outlying case. That won't undermine the idea. That'll be an exception. Why does that case taste so strong? If the pot is really considered like a new entity, that's diminished from the source. That's a strange metzius. What I'm trying to say is like this: that it's a question of how do you deal with the one unusual case that contradicts the theory. Does it therefore, according to Rav, therefore it undermines the entire theory? And according to Shmuel, as long as the theory we can maintain the theory. And relegate this to as an exception.
Isn't the Gemara rejecting this as a support for Rav's position?
No, that is the source for Rav's position. There was no other statement for Rav's position. The Ritva says that. The Ritva has that. The Ritva is clear on that.
Isn't
I'm not sure if.
When he says it's really good, that's Shmuel's response, right?
That's the Gemara explaining why it's Mechlala. But that's Shmuel's response. Mustafa, that's Shmuel's response. I mean, that's the plain, that's the good pshat. I mean, how does the Ramban learn it? Does he learn? Does he take up that question? The other Rishon, the Ritva, really goes into that more. What was the Maisa and what was the response? But
why did they need the whole story of Rabbi Eliezer?
I guess that's showing you that Rav, in fact, didn't change his mind. I mean, it's a good. Why do they need the story? And to show you that Rav really did hold that way. It's just you can't necessarily prove from his statement, but he did really hold that way. Yeah, the Ritva. That's a different question. Right. No, hold. Now that there's two questions over here. One is Rav and Shmuel. Okay, so therefore Rav is saying that even though it's a lesser tam, but it's no different. We don't treat it any differently. We just say maybe less tam is getting through the pot. But we can't be justified in calling the pot a new source anymore. It just might be a filter. Let's say somebody have a filter. It doesn't mean that it's a new source. Right? As long as the case of his one case made him conclude that you have to treat it like just a pass-through. But we don't hold like Rav. We hold that we consider the pot like a new source. Now, you're mentioning, Yitzi, is a secondary machlokus within Shmuel. Do we hold that there's ever a case that it's different? That's separate. And you're right. Because there are Rishonim that learn this whole case is not by Bishul. That the whole machlokus is not by Bishul. By Bishul, everyone would agree it's not considered a source. But we're not taking up that question right just yet. That's what you're referring to by the Sakin, right? Second pshat in Rashi by Sakin.
Right.
That's the second pshat in Rashi is a different shita from the Ramban. And it wants to learn that it's dafka alu, but if you cook the fish in the pot, it would have a tam rishon. That's the law, and the lashon they use is basically all the tam is coming through. Tam. In other words, Rav is saying, once I see a case where it comes through, what I'm saying is it's not a machlokas in Tom Kicker. Tom Kicker always means the same thing for both. They would each write an encyclopedia of halachic terminology. Tom Kicker would have the same exact entry. The Tom that comes directly from the source is the Tom Kicker. They're only arguing in when the Tom goes into something and then to something else, do I consider that like a direct pass-through, or do I consider it now to have become part of the pot, and now the pot is giving off its own tam. But that tam only has a source of a tam. So Rav is saying, as long as I can show you, since I saw in a case that it's not nishtaneh, then that shows that we don't. Then that undermines the whole view on every case. Of something in of a tam that's balu in a pot of being a not bar not. Since it's not nishtana, since there is a situation where it's not nishtana, then that shows you that the whole relationship between the tam and the pot is really not a new formulation, not a new form of something that gives off its own thing, but it's just considered a viaduct of the tam rishon. How come it doesn't always come through so strong? Right, sometimes things get left behind, but that doesn't. But once I can show you that there's a case where it is not changed at all, then I don't say that it's. Then I can't treat it in general anymore, definitively as a separate tam. Where Shmuel says, the metzias in general justifies the view that it's different, and your one strange case is. Can't undermine the norm that's established by the Metzius. It's a question of how do you view the norm from the case that undermines it. Does that change the norm or not? Does that change the halachic normative view or not? It's a highly speculative thing. I'm just grasping at straws over here, but I think it's an interesting question because it doesn't change what's mustaver about Tom Kicker, and it explains the story. was Rav knew. Rav knew that that was a special, unique Mariris in that thing. But he held it. Doesn't matter. That's all he needed. All he needed was a Matzias. The way it should be used, and everything is now. Is according to Rav, the paradigm is defined by the pure. The pure is represented by the case that has all the best attributes. Then everything else is just a diminished case of the pure. So he says, I see from the Mariris what it really is capable of. What it's really capable of is a full pass-through of Tom. That's what it's defined. Everything else is a diminished case of that. Everything else is just an inferior case of that. But that means to say, we have to set the definition from the top. Shmuel says, no, the definition goes by the Stam Tashmish of how it's used. And this we'll just consider a strange case where even though it's Tom Shaney is extremely nicker. But it doesn't define, it's almost like Rav is saying everything else is a diminished case of the Mariris, and Shmuel is saying the Mariris is just the normal case accentuated. Wouldn't. No, I'm saying even Shmuel will say the Mariris is a Tom Shaney. Right. It's an interesting question. I mean, the interesting question that Shlomo was raising is there any nafkamina, would Rav have any case of Tom where he's diminishing in this Tom kicker? We will never know, unfortunately, because since we don't hold like Rav, there's no more discussion of Rav Shita. But it is possible, like what Yitzi was raising before, the Shitas that learn that Tom, that not bar not is dafka by a case where you take something hot and putting it onto a plate, right? But if you would boil the fish in a pot, in a fleshig pot, that would be considered like a tam rishon into the fish, right? There are shitas like that. Am I right? You familiar with what I'm saying? But the point I'm trying to make is that there are shitas that say that Bishul is considered more than this case, and it's not the case they're arguing about. But they hold the Tam Shlishi is Mutter. So it could be that Rav, that if we were to have investigated Rav further, he would have been Moda by a Shlishi.
What do you mean by Shlishi? Was there a Rabbanim Shlishi, or was there a
Rabbanim
called a
Ravi? Well, Rabbanim called a Ravi.
Well, what's the difference there?
Like, because then that? Even the yeah, then it's always never Nick. Then it's always different. But I don't know.
Is it so diminished?
That would not be consistent. I guess theoretically, in theory, that would be difficult. Yeah, you're right. I would have to say you're right. Probably you're right. According to the way we're defining it, then Rav would always view it like a pastor. You're right. I retract that. So then you're right. I mean, in terms of Metzias, is there a Metzias question of what? Of Tom Kicker?
Yes.
Where he would say what? There's no longer Tom Kicker?
Yeah. Rav always holds Tom Kicker means that Tom, after you use anything linked to the first thing, then it's like the first thing. That's what
right.
Tom Kicker means.
In other words, he's asking me, is there a nafkamina between my Svara and the way Sprung put it? Right?
Yeah. To me, it sounds like it's the same thing. You're just pinpointing which element of Tom Kicker they differ on.
Well, the results are the same because we know the results. We knew the results before we started speaking, that Rav holds that Tom is always going to be awesome. We're trying to see, can we put ourselves back into a position where it would make sense to say something like that? Right? And the story, and we would make that comment, and that would, to us, make sense as a statement that Tom is, that we don't hold from not by not. So, that's the only point we differ on. Yeah, so the Ramban is then bothered by the case, right? He's bothered by the case. Because if the case is really that they had Mariris in the pot, that they had something, they were cooking with something or whatever, they used the Ka'ara with something very spicy and then gave Rav a dish that was prepared on that same Ka'ara. So that would be just a straight Tom Shani, right? That would be a straight Tom Shani. So what's the raya that Rav tasted it? Who cares? Who cares? Everybody agrees that you tasted Tom Shani. That's not the kasha, right? So therefore he learns that it's really talking about what? That the original Tavshil itself was only considered the tam of the Samamonim. Yeah, let's think this through. So in other words, it started with a tam ki'ikr. That's how he's learning. That it started with a tam ki'ikr. And then it went into the plates, and then into the so he's learning just Matzias wise. He's learning there's no raya from the first transfer. First transfer itself is the is definitely a nosing tam. Otherwise, you'd be able to cook milk in a pot with meat, because the tam of the basar would be mutter. Right?
I don't understand.
Right. No, just to explain the Ramban's question. He said like this: where are Rav and Shmuel arguing? They're not arguing about whether a tam sheni has a shame of basar. Not an argument whether a tam sheni is nirgash. They're arguing about whether a tam shlishi is considered the tam, right? So if you'd want to prove that Rav holds a tam shlishi is a tam, it should be a case where he tastes the tam shlishi. That should be the case, because Shmuel doesn't disagree with the idea that a tam sheni is a tam. So just because he tastes something in a tam sheni, that would imply that to say that there was a case of a tam sheni and Rav says, ah, this is still tam, that would imply that Shmuel would say tam sheni is not a tam. Oh, if tam sheni is not a tam, so then what's the problem with cooking in a pot, with cooking in a fleshic pot? What's going to go into the milk? Tam sheni. But if you're saying a tam sheni is not a tam, then what's the problem? That's the Ran also has that. I mean, the Ran has they all have the Ramban's question. They don't all give his answer, but they have his question. Okay, but there's one thing that's a little bit difficult in the Ramban. So the Ramban says like this. He quotes Rashi later on. Fascinating case over there with Rashi, right? I don't want to get into too involved in the details of that case, but his question is like this. He says like this. He says like this. I'm just going to pick and choose a little bit here. He says like this. Vizu shehutzrach kan lefarish bekara she'en ba basar. Why do we have to learn that the case that they put the fish on had no meat? Mishum she'im hoya ba basar ein kan elechad nosin tam. Right? Yeah. I see it's a little complicated over here. In other words, there was a pshat later on in Rashi, right, where he seems to imply that that the problem is mixing where he seems to imply even the time Shani is nothing, right? Right, now they say like this. The Omrim, some want to say that Rashi holds Afilu no Saint Tom Shani is considered a not Barnat. His whole sheet is the Tom Shlishi is really the Heter. Some wanted to say from Rashi later on that the second Tom is a no Saint Tom. Right? So therefore the only problem would be like this. If you cook the fish with meat, then you'd have a problem. Why? Why is it a problem? The tam that comes out of the fish will be a tam sheni. So why should it be a problem? Right? Right, correct?
Yeah, there's two different.
So they want to say the problem is that the kutach will go into the fish and the two tam will mix in the fish. Right? Shad Basar Nosin Tampadagim, Vakutech Nosin Tampadagim. Umis Arvin Shnei Atamim. Okay. Is anybody still with me here?
I thought Tom Shini was used to this problem.
What?
Tom Shini, as it goes out, is still a problem, no?
Yes, but some wanted to learn with Rashi that Tom Shini is not a problem. Based on something that Rashi says later, some wanted to say that Rashi himself really holds that the Tom Shini, when it goes out, is no problem. Okay? So if Tom Shini, when it goes out, is no problem, so why can't I just cook fish and meat together and eat it with kutach? The fish has the Tom Rishon, right? And then when it goes into the kutach, it'll be a Tom Shini, right? So they want to say, no, the problem is not that the tam is going to come out of the fish into the kutach, because that would be not a problem. The problem is that the tam of the kutach is going to go into the fish. And in the fish, there's a tam rishon. So now you'll have two tam rishons in the fish. Right?
Did you see the Rashi?
Yeah.
I think it's Rashi Shita. Doesn't it say, Nei Makom Lesser,
yeah, but the reason, right? That's what they conclude. That's what they conclude. That's what he concludes. That's not Rashi Shita. Right. He's just saying someone would say that. Okay, you can look through it later. But anyway, so he says ze eino klum. This is nonsense. She eino osel bnei shetam habosar bedogim nosin tam bekutach shenasari bedogim. This is what I find interesting. Now the Ramban is saying that what are we worried about in the case of the Dogim Sha'olu Bekara? What are we worried about in all these cases of a fish that's cooked with meat not to eat with the kutach? For some reason, he says, we're only worried about the tam that comes out of the fish. That's all that we're worried about. Eino asur elam ipnei shetam habosar shebedogim no sein tam bekutach shenisarif bedogim. Elavada eino nikra nosin tam bar nosin tam elabishlosha nosne tamim kemosha pirashnu. So therefore, he says, if you're only worried about the tam that comes out of the dugim, so then that proves that the tam sheni is the problem. Why? Because if I cook meat with fish, the fish has a tam rishon. And if what I'm worried about is the tam that comes from the fish, that's a tam sheni. So once you see that you can't cook fish with meat and eat it with milk, that proves that the tam sheni is the problem. But how does he prove that that's what we're worried about? Why is he so sure that we're only worried about the tam that comes out of the fish? It sounds like a pretty big problem too, the tam goes into the fish. Right? And he goes on also, he says it later too. He says, yeah. See, and if you look at Rashi and Kuf Tes Zion, he says like this. He says, he says that when the milk absorbs the tam of the keva, he says the dogim sh'olu bakar, right? Rashi is explaining the heter of dogim sh'olu bakar over here. Even though the fish absorbed the tam of the basar, adayin heter gomor hein leochlan. Interesting, Rashi. You can still eat the fish. No reason you can't eat the fish. Ukishabol leochlan bekutach lama ata osir alav. And now you want to say don't eat it with the kutach. Why? Why? Why not eat with the kutach? Mipnei tam basar shalav. So you'll say, because it has tam basar in it. Hahu tam basar. Lav tamhu, but that tam is not real tam. Sharei lo bomin amamish elaminosin tam acher. So that's Rashi's explanation. Does that sound like the Ramban or not the Ramban? That's the question. But it does sound like Rashi's saying that tam sheni is nothing. Right? It does sound like he's saying that tam sheni is nothing. Yeah, but I think you're right. I think that's how they're learning Rashi over there, saying that Rashi's learning that the tam sheni over here, the tam in the basar in the fish is nothing, because it can't create any other iser. But hold on one second. Right. See, the Ramban really explains his shita later on at the end of the Ramban, where he has the case of. As the case of cooking, of washing a milchig and a fleshig pot together. Okay? The Sefer Truma says you can't wash a milchig pot and a fleshig pot in the same water at the same time, because the tamim you're going to get two tam shenis into the water and mixed together. Okay, so the Ramban says that's wrong. It's a mistake. He says it's exactly like the dagim shalu bakara. How? The kara is the kara. Okay, the mayim roschin that the kara goes into is like the dagim, and the milchig pot is like the kutach. Kishem shad dogim mutal achlam bakutach, just like you can eat the fish with the kutach. Mutter kacha mayam ha'elu mutter litain osan bein bakutach bein bepletas cholav sheb machavas. So the water is like the fish, so it can be mixed with milk just like the fish can. So what are you worried about? So you're going to cook, so you have a hot pot, a fleshig pot, and you want to wash your milk and dishes in it. I'm assuming there's no mamashas. So you put your fleshig pot is like your fish, is like your pot, the water is like your fish, and the plate, the milk plate, is like the kutach.
Yeah,
with
the milk
of food. Okay. So he's like this. Even though he said you need three nosne tam, and now what's really in the water? Tam sheni. Right? Kan nami shlosha nosne tamim heim. It is three tamim. Why? Basar b'ka'aros, ka'aros b'mayim, mayim b'cholav. V'lo amrinan cholav shebemayim nis'arev im tam sheni shel basar shebehen. We don't say that in the water is a tarovis of two tam shenis dancing together. We don't say that they connect as two tam shenis. Kishem she'ein omrim bedogim, the tam acholav shebekutach nivla bedogim. Just like we don't say that the tam of the milk goes into the fish. Why? V'chein bedin, and it makes sense. L'fi she'ein basar shebedogim o b'mayim osrim, ad she'yisarvu im acholav v'yitnu tam zeh b'zeh. So that's where he finally puts his cards on the table. He says, because the whole She'ein basar b'cholav oster li'olam ela b'nosein tam. He says, how does basar b'cholav, how do you make basar b'cholav? Not by having basar next to cholav. There has to be an exchange of tamim from the tam basar to the tam cholav. How do you exchange tamim? Shlishi. So in the water, you'll have two basar b'cholav tam shen, you'll have two tam shenis next to each other, but that's not basar b'cholav. Basar b'cholav is an eruv of the tamim. An eruv of the tam needs an exchange. Once you're going to need to exchange tam from sheni to sheni, then you need a shlishi. So that's why he's not worried about the tam going back into the fish. Not that he doesn't think it can go back into the fish. But even if it goes into the fish, you're going to have to now mix the tamim between each other. But that's always going to, whatever you have of your basar, in order for it to be asar, it's got to give a tam of itself. Got to give a tam to the chalav. That's what he means. We're only worried. He means conceptually we're worried about the tam of the in the dugim giving tam to the kutach. Because otherwise it's not considered a new cheftza of basar b'chalav. It's just like basar next to chalav. You can have basar next to chalav in water. It's not going to make a difference. It's got to be an exchange between the two. So that's his shita. That's the Ramban shita. It's a very nice shita. Really worried about the tam shlishi. And in the dagim is a sheni, and the only way for the sheni to make basar b'cholav is to give of its tam to the cholav, which is a shlishi, impossible. That's right. That's why the Ramban, I believe the Ramban holds that in a kli, you don't say there's a basar b'cholav in general. You don't say that the tamim are mu'urav. Means that you don't say chatich nas zevela within the kli. You have both. You have tam basar and tam cholav, but you don't have like a new thing of basar b'cholav in the kli. So therefore, the nafkamin would be if you would cook it with it, and you know that all of the basar came out, and you could be mevatel. If you could be mevatel, one or the other, but not both. Let's say you know for sure you used one kezayis of basar and one kezayis of cholav. That's balu in the kli. Now you cook in that 59 kezayis of basar. So then you'll say it'll all be mutter. If you learned it was a chaticha nasas nevela in the kli, then it would all be awesome.